Our next speakers, Claudio Agosti and Gaetano Apriori, are going to be talking about mobile reverse engineering to empower the gig economy workers and labor unions. Claudio was investigating platform power and influence even before the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and he's Travis Kalanick's biggest unknown nemesis. Gaetano is a wannabe cell phone hacker, a wannabe pizza cooker, we'll see, and he's also Travis Kalanick's biggest unknown nemesis. Please give a warm welcome on day four to Claudio and Gaetano.
Hi everybody, thank you for me here. Thank you for who see us in the future and in streaming. And not thank you to the AI that is gonna train it over this MP4 file. The accent is strong in order to screw up with their English comprehension. But I believe your brain plasticity will catch up. So let's start with some definition. We can use the term gig economy or platform workers interchangeably. We acknowledge that this growing of apps that enable workers to get quick task, quick job, has created a new job market, a new opening, and as after all, give something good to people that may need those kind of jobs. But in this talk, we argue that there are some problems because those apps, those platforms, after all, descend from the surveillance capitalism style of processing data and organize people and the tasks. What we focus on is mostly apps meant for worker. So the typical Glovo app that you use has 50 million download. Is the one used to buy services. The app that the worker are using is different. Who are we? Simply, back in time, we were trying to investigate the power of platform and of algorithm, of the black box, because it's not acceptable that something without telling you why and how, decide for you. And if this is true in Facebook, in Google, in most of the service we use, this is even less acceptable in the work environment, because as a user, you may have less right. As a worker, you have a lot of rights that should be protected when you are actually working. We began this investigation in 2019, Tracking Exposed was the name at the time, and now we are operating under the Reversing Works new umbrella. This talk may not contain anything that's groundbreaking for you if you're an expert in one of these three topics, reverse engineering, labor unionism, or data protection authority. But what is innovative here is the multidisciplinary approach, because those three fields rarely work together. The overlapping area, you see that reverse engineering and labor union are methods that don't work together. Normally, labor union try to defend the contracts, obligation. They try to see the safety of the worker. But we have to consider that if now the worker life is determined by an app, perhaps investigating technology is getting to be necessary. Reverse engineering and data protection authority were also not really working together because this kind of investigation may be too much invasive for the power of an administrative authority. And labor union tendentially protect collective rights, rights that are for a class of people, while privacy is a personal right and has never been used a privacy right to defend a class of people. But in this talk, we are doing the effort to put them together and try to make a sense out of it, because at the end, it's a form of resistance. Will be great if there is a regulation or a directive, like for example, a platform directive that last week has been synced by some political pressure. And because there is not an institutional kind of protection of those figures, let's try to be a bit adversarial and think new ways to use the tools in our disposal. And for the tools...
Hi, everyone. Well, now I would like just to tell you how this story began. Well, some time ago, there was this friend of mine who, let's say, asked to me for a favor just to look at this kind of particular story that happened to me. Basically, He was a writer, he worked with Glovo, and he and other people participated in a strike. And the day after, in which they basically tried to log into the application, they saw that their account was deleted. Which basically, if you work with an app, basically means that you have been fired. They tried to contact the company to understand why they have been fired, and they blamed a so-called generic technical error on the server side. Now, these and other things went into a lawsuit. They tried to basically blame the company because they illegally fired them because they participated in a strike. And one of the lawyers, who was a bit savvy on the GDPR, tried to make the so-called data subject access request to the company to basically get the data of that infamous Sunday in which they participated in the strike to understand what really happened. Unfortunately, the company answered with, "Sorry, we have nothing, just registration data." Which seems strange, to, I don't know, for a company which, you know, you have to, an account, you have to do stuff. Also, I mean, you have a rating of how much you behave, how well you have done your stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, how can we understand more? Well, we tried to, for example, look at how the app works inside and try to understand better what could happen, which kind of data does this kind of this app retains, what data it sends, where it sends, et cetera. Fortunately, to get an helping hand on this, we have found a volunteer who agreed to basically share his credentials with us to make a better assessment. Now, unfortunately, we cannot analyze the data of an user which has been banned because, you know, the server will just tell you that, oh, sorry, I have nothing. Also, we cannot travel back in time, at least the last time that I checked, we cannot. Also, reproducing the same conditions with the valid credential that we have was impossible because, well, I mean, you have, you know, so many peculiar things that happen that reproducing all of them could be troublesome, to say the least. So we decided to switch to something that was a bit easier to do. So we tried to say, okay, let's try to make a simple privacy assessment of this app, see if there is any violation in the context of the GDPR, of the labor laws, of course the labor law in the context of the Italian Code of Law, and let's do this in, I don't know, in the way in which we can actually look at how Android applications work. Fortunately for this, there are many tools that actually work. To introduce them, to introduce this awesome ecosystem, I will make a small introduction. For some people, I mean, it will be obvious stuff, as I mean, this is like really, really basic stuff. For others, it might be interesting, so I don't know, maybe I will list some minus for you. So, first of all, we will try to run the Glovo application in an Android device that we own, that we can control, in which we can record basically everything that the app does and everything that the app sends through the internet. Also, we will just let the app run for, we choose to let it run for 2 days because we thought that it was enough to gather enough data without any user interaction. So without taking orders, without tapping into the app, we try to avoid any kind of interaction with the application. Also, to do it in, let's say, in a more remote-friendly, whatever way, I prefer to use a Raspberry Pi with Lineage installed. There are some builds on the internet, you can find them, and they work quite well. And they also integrate VNC. For remote control so that you can actually look at the screen. So what we can see from an Android application. Generally, the first thing that we want to look is to the Android manifest, because there we can see the so-called permissions that in Android are enforcement on every application that is installed. So that if, for example, if an application needs some particular permissions, they actually need to pop up the user and ask them for the permission, as it is called. Probably many of you already know this, I've made it. Also, this stage is quite important because here we can understand, for example, what the application is actually looking at, which kind of device it is reading. So, for example, here we can see that it's accessing the GPS, so it would be nice to log GPS accesses. For example, if we don't see that the app is actually accessing the microphone, it doesn't make any sense to log the access to the microphone. After this, we looked at the Java code of the app. As many of you might know, there are some tools to actually decompile an APK, an Android package, and actually look at the Java code. This might be useful to understand how the app works, how it makes some things, if there is something hidden somewhere that I want to look at, and also to look at libraries, SDKs, as there usually is where the nasty things from third-party trackers is actually implemented. Of course, third-party trackers are the juicy part if we are actually looking for privacy violations. Also, I mean, for me, here is important to actually state that I usually don't spend too much time here, as actually reading the dev compile code of an application line by line doesn't make any sense. Also, it doesn't give really any evidence, because maybe here I can see that it makes a request to a server with some data that it might be interesting, but how do I know if the app actually makes that request, or if it's actually populated with data? And this is the part where the so-called magic tool of this talk will actually come in hand, which is called Frida. I mean, you probably have already seen a ton of presentation about Frida, so I will not bother you again with that. There are many, 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 many good tutorials and documentation about this tool that you can look at if you are interested. And I mean, they also explain much better than I could possibly do. Just to give a quick overview, Frida is an instrumentation framework that actually allows us to inject code in an ongoing and running application, so that we can, for example, add logging and debugging features to an app that actually does not contain them, so that we can actually, you know, enrich the application with functions that maybe can be useful for us. So, which is the first usage of this amazing feature that we can think at? Well, as we said before, we know that the app actually accesses the GPS. Okay, let's see when the app accesses this feature. Well, let's see when the app accesses this device, so that I can get the time, the number of times that it's done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, this might be useful information. Last but not least, we are in 2023 for a couple of days more. So, you know, as many of probably you know, most of the internet traffic now is encrypted. It's encrypted on the transport with transport layer security. And so, just, you know, doing a passive analysis of the network traffic is not enough anymore. We actually need to intercept traffic using, for example, a TLS proxy. For this analysis, I used MeetProxy, which you can also look at the documentation to actually know how to set it up. It also has a very, very good tutorial in which they will actually tell you every step that you need to do to install a certificate authority on your Android device, so that you can basically do everything that that is needed to get traffic. Also, this here, we just need to make some a bit of nonsense, as we need, for example, to log the network traffic so that we have actually a copy of that. And also, it will be smart to, and we will see afterwards, to check a bit the logs of the tool to see if there are any problems during the traffic interception. Let's see some of the so-called results. Well, the first result that we gained when we did the first analysis in July, 2021, was that the location of the users was accessed around one time every hour for the whole day, even outside working hours. So generally, the worker was constantly monitored for their location, even outside their shifts, basically. Second result, which was a bit interesting, but we never really explained, and we didn't have enough hints to actually get an idea besides that, was that the application was rating users based on a score, which was also transparent to the worker. So they know their pointage, they know for every order how many points they made, and the points were basically based on the review of the client, the review of the restaurant, and other metrics. But there was, in a request, another called rating, which we didn't really expect, and we were not really able to explain. It seems like a feature of an hidden score in the app, but we really were not able to explain it. But last but not least, the most interesting result was that with a third-party tracker known as Braze, they share basically all the data that they had about the user constantly, and this data include the personal identification data of the worker, including, for example, their fiscal code, their location, which whenever it was gained, it was sent back to this third-party tracker. And this result was quite relevant, as this tracker was not meant, and it was not mentioned anywhere in their privacy policy. We tried to repeat this test about a year after, in September 2022. And looking at the logs of MeetProxy, which, as you can see, has this very hacker and color user interface, which, I mean, it looks very, very elite if you look at it, actually showed us that they were not able to connect to this server, identity.mparticle.com. We knew by looking at the application code that the mParticle SDK was actually included in the Glovo app, so we expected to see traffic towards that endpoint. Also, we noticed that it was, let's say, that the connection was resetted by the client, which seems strange, but actually is the default behavior of many Android applications that are smart enough to avoid the traffic interception. Sorry, because basically what they do is that they save a fingerprint of the server certificate that they are expecting. Of course, the server certificate signed by a trusted certificate authority. So that whenever a proxy with an arbitrary certificate authority tries to sign an arbitrary certificate made for that server, this check will fail. This technique is called as certificate pinning. Is nothing new, and also there are some standard Android libraries and also some, let's say, some standard code patterns that you can find in the code to see how it is implemented. In this case, it was implemented using the Trust Manager. At this summer camp, there was a presentation called Leveraging the Use of Dynamic Instrumentation for Pentesting Mobile Apps, in which basically dynamic instrumentation with Frida was presented. And if you see it, you probably know that one of the scenarios in which the usage of Frida was actually shown up was to actually bypass this kind of stuff, so to actually bypass certificate pinning. In this case, we have shown up a small snippet in which we make the check from the trust manager to fail every time. Also, this script is actually available from the internet. They have a huge library, so it's nothing too fancy, nothing hard, probably. You will find it for sure. So the final result that we gained at the end of this second analysis was that we were able to intercept also the traffic from this other third-party tracker, so also from mParticle, and also there we've seen that the location of the worker was constantly shared with them together with personal data. And of course, also this was not mentioned in their privacy policy or whatever. Now, why we think that these results are meaningful? Because as we have seen before, in this case, the company to a DSR, to a data subject access request, would have never actually shown up all this stuff. So it's something that we need to, if we really want to look at it and we really want to look inside this black box, we actually have to find a way to grasp inside of that. And, you know, some standard reverse engineering techniques can be a quite useful tool. Also, it's nice to mention that we have replicated this analysis in July 2021, September 2022, and July 2023, finding almost similar results, and that we have published a paper with E2I, where you can have a better look at them. Also, this resulted in a report to the Italian Data Protection Authority, which, I don't know, maybe it might seem interesting or not. To give a better perspective, I'll give back the mic back to Claudio.
What you're seeing here is a sort of timeline of what we tested during the time, because it was full of new experiences, blocking time, or problems we were not expecting. At the beginning, we were thinking to use Article 22 of the GDPR, because it talks about automated decision making, and this is a case where a system decides automatically what you're going to do. But in order to demonstrate some kind of violation, we have to actually find some worker that can talk about this violation. And so we build a survey. And when you build a survey with a form full of questions, it's not that the typical Uber Eats, Glovo driver, Deliveroo, Foodora, you name it, kind of rider want to answer about questions on their perception. So initially, we had some struggle in getting answers. That's why only after, in 2020, with the IRP Media, a group in Italy that was making also investigation on this new form of work, especially because during the COVID, it displayed to be a quite important kind of service for the society. This survey get answered by more contributors. That has helped to collect evidence, but not yet something to move forward. Meanwhile, we found this important courier willing to cooperate, so someone that wants to give the login and password. That was a complexity that we were thinking to solve quicker. Instead, we took 18 months to find one person. Then we start to make tests. We make tests in July, February, September, and then we bring the data to the Data Protection Authority. Sadly, the data initially was considered too old. We will see later why it may be a good reason. And what we did in 1 week at that point was to repeat the test with the last version, make a simple technical assessment of what were the problems that you already saw in this presentation, and give to the authority this material, and at the moment this has been accepted, and who knows what's going to happen. After, in October, there was this report published. The report has been covered in different language. The main title that you see around is Glovo app for courier, share location of the worker outside of the working shift to third party. That has been the main message that emerged from these titles. But what is fun to see is that there was the first strike in Milan with riders calling for algorithmic transparency. Why the data may look too old? Because The first time Gaetano started to make this analysis, it took 2 weeks to understand how to investigate the app. And the app releases a new version every week. So you see that there is a potentially blocking factor if you produce evidence for an app that is already not the last version that is running on people's phone. We were afraid that the justification of, oh, this is just a mistake, will appear again. Instead, as first, we get quicker. So if at the first test, 2 weeks were necessary, at the last test, 1 day was necessary to restart. And second, we saw that the violation were present for 2 years. So were not mistakes. They were part of the design. Another contextual information that was unrelated to what we did, but we cannot ignore, is that in 2019, the Data Protection Authority in Italy started to make some investigation on many gig economy apps. And in 2021, they give a huge fine to Globo Foodinho, with also prescriptive measure, so how they need to change their app to be compliant. In 2022, Globo won the appeal, so they have not to pay the fine, but we were expecting that they should still implement the prescriptive measure. And in 2023, the Italian Supreme Court reverted the appeal, so Globo has also to pay the fine. What is the point? When in 2021 we start to get the evidence, we were afraid that the app will change in 1 day and lose all its violation, or expected violation, because there was already a cause against them. Instead, what we document is that in those 2 years, they never implemented any update to become actually more safer. Now, thinking to the next step, because if the Glovo case is meaningful to show what are the problems that happen in these apps, it's not for us a victory if one group in Europe do a test against one app, expand for 5 years, and maybe score a victory. That is not a victory. The victory is when it's easier to analyze those apps, it's easier to find workers that are eager to collaborate with a group like ours. It's easier to talk with a labor union to make them understand why data processing is a problem. So we have to lower the entrance barrier. In those three bubbles of the Venn diagram, we have to make it easier to make clear to the people working there that those things happen. And there are some tools I want to point out. Exodus Privacy is a system that do static analysis of many of the apps into the Google Play Store. With static analysis, as Gaetano was explaining, you cannot prove that the trackers is actually containing personal information revealed to a third party, but can be an indicator. Privacy International also released the data interception environment, which is a virtual machine with a MITM proxy that can help you to assess the network traffic. And what we understood by looking at the biggest moment where we were blocked is that we should not try to work with workers and bring the evidence to get an impact. We should be the technical provider for other more specialized in-field organization. So for example, working with the union, so they have a lot of workers that potentially can collaborate, and having them using those evidence. One of the things that we didn't get through, but a couple of those problems displaying the results were privacy violation. Another one, like the rating, can also be not a privacy violation, but for sure is an information that in the hand of the union that are doing their collective bargain, they can also understand which kind of data and the labeling and attribute get added to the worker, because this will impact the worker dynamic and treatment. At the Privacy Camp that will happen the 24th of January, there will be streamed also a talk organized by us that try to, again, lower the entrance barrier. Talk to different actors, stakeholders of these domains, because it should be a fight. Let's say that the AI Act got 100 times the coverage that the platform directive got. But the platform directive was already addressing something that is a problem now, was a problem years ago, and is going to be a problem also in the next years. Now, we are not alone, and we hope that many other organizations will start shoot out to those four groups. Similar to us, they are doing an interdisciplinary effort. Worker Info Exchange and personaldata.io, both of them are using data subject access request for workers to get details on the data that the company has on the worker and try to understand how much this is realistic with their payment and try to do this kind of comparison. The Workers Algorithm Observatory is active in the US and they're doing data donation from mobile app. And Turk Opticon is instead an effort to measure and evaluate the kind of task given to worker of Amazon Mechanical Turk. What you can see is that some organizations may be platform specific, like Turk Opticon, other can be more generic. In general, we are not alone, we need to be more. I hope that this talk has inspired some of you. There are some times for question and answer, but we will be later at the tea house in the case you want to meet and talk more about it.
Thank you so much, Claudio and Gaetano. So as mentioned, we do have time for questions. We have installed monitoring SDKs on the four microphones in the room. And we have a gig worker angel, the signal angel, who is monitoring the Matrix, the IRC, as well as Mastodon. We are in the Z room, Zusa, so if you use the appropriate hashtag, our analytics SDKs will pipe that to our gig worker. I see already someone at microphone number two, please.
Yeah, thank you for your talk. So what I notice is that there is a power disbalance of who uses my data. And if I should, I imagined, how could this be leveled? So I guess a political demand could be every data of myself, which goes out of the device, it has to be locked on my request by the OS, which is installed. So all these hoops you had to go through to just get the data that is sent, this would just be erased to zero and you could check and use tools and so on. Because if I put a little SIM card with 128 gig, there is a lot of room for a lot of logs. So if I request it from this web app, I want to know what's going on, maybe even incoming traffic, but well, it might be more difficult legally to get access to this.
Can you express it in a one question that is...
It's not a question, it's just a suggestion for a political demand. If I, to get access to what personal identifier information and other data is going out of my device and to have a lock on my device. So yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
It's a suggestion more than a question.
So in the future, please try to keep it to questions and not so commentary. So as mentioned, the speakers are available later to chat and give such fantastic suggestions. But right now I see that our gig worker from the internet has found that the internet has questions.
Yes, the internet wants to know if you have any evidence or if you came across the fact that gig working companies listen to personal conversations or collect data about the emotional aspects of their workers. Do you think this is plausible or do you find anything in this direction?
In this direction, honestly, not. There have been some research about that, about the in which they basically try to look at how they decoded data that was actually exfiltrated from the device by just doing network analysis, but I will never get the name of the paper right now in my mind, unfortunately. But it's something that never came in our cases. As we said before, we mainly look at apps that were not even requesting access to the microphone. And that kind of stuff is actually monitored by Android, by the Android operating system, using Selinux, which, I mean, these are very strong jails, and unless you have some apocalyptic tick, zero, escape, whatever, from the kernel, you cannot actually bypass that. And so it's not cases that we have actually found. So unfortunately not. Or fortunately. Maybe it would be better to say fortunately. Yeah, sorry.
So the gig economy has not yet been infected by the Datenirrsche, but maybe our microphone number 4 can bring a new question.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. Question would be, did you have, did actually the workers had any civil lawsuits filed against the company or any labor cases against the company? And are you suggesting to the...
There were many of them. There were many of them which were quite unrelated to this topic. They were mostly related to be actually being recognized as employees and other things. As we said before, there was that particular case about some people that were actually fired collectively without notice after a strike, so it was, let's say, aggravated by two things. This kind of analysis, we have to see how it goes so far. It was not actually used in a specific lawsuit, but maybe if there is any risk, I mean, maybe the results can be used for that, let's say, or can be integrated in another one. Also, I mean, it could be a usage for the future, that for sure.
Let's say there are cases, but what we hope is that there will be more cases, especially that consider the technical domain, because that's give additional tools to and reason to haggle.
Okay, thank you.
I see that the internet has another question.
Yes, the internet wants to know if you know any tools that make it possible for non-technical users to monitor outgoing traffic.
The data interception environment of Privacy International, I shared the link in the presentation, want to assist exactly for that reason. It cannot do the complex certificate pinning hacking, but that is not present every time. Most of the apps don't use it, and that would be a good beginning to intercept traffic and inspect what an app is leaking outside.
According to my analytics, microphone 3 has a question.
Thank you for the great talk. I know that you guys investigated the Glovo app. I'm curious, for Germany, there's Gorillas and Volt and many other gig economy apps that are supposed to help the workers there. Are you aware of any investigations into those apps to verify that those workers are also being protected and looked out for?
So we know that there are movements that want to investigate it. But what we explain is also what is the complexity behind an investigation. As first, we need to have someone that wants to do reverse engineering, that maybe is not only Gaetano, but he can teach better, or we can work as a team. Second, we need workers. And third, we also need to be in touch, or at least start to think what to do with the evidence if they're found. And at the end, this panel was showing the huge complexity to make it replicable, which is our goal, and we hope to do it in many other countries of Europe besides Italy. And it would be great to find someone in Germany that can collaborate with us.
Great, thank you.
The room has opted in to one short last question from microphone number 2.
Hello. Do you know of any app that is doing gig economy in a good way?
In theory, there is CycleCop. Not what is the name? There is some fair form of gig economy. Yes, and it do not only cover the technical part, but especially what is the employment, the support, the assistance you can get as a worker. I did not focus in an extended research on it, so I cannot even repeat the correct name. I know that is a French project that has been replicated around Europe, and the name is similar to CycleCop. and I hope DuckDuckGo will help you to find the right answer. But exist, it's possible. Probably it's less profitable, it doesn't matter. I mean, we have also to think forward that we have not to spend our time to investigate who do things bad. We have to build a network that want to have only a fair gig economy. Perhaps a European regulation would have helped. What's going to happen in the future? If someone else can start to build more initiative of fair gig economy, would be a great example that this can exist. And when Uber threatened, I don't know, France to say, oh, we're going to leave your market, maybe the next French president can answer, oh, we have already a better alternative.
Claudio Gaetano, thank you so much. Let's give them a huge round of applause.